الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقل رب أدخلني مدخل صدق وأخرجني مخرج صدق واجعلني من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, there is no doubt, it is unanimous, all the scholars and ulama and mashayikh agree on the fact that the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, which is tomorrow, commence already, is an extremely auspicious day in the life of every believer. In the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, reported by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ. The most virtuous of fast after the month of Ramadan are those fasts that are kept in the month of Allah, which is Muharram. In other words, after the month of Ramadan, it is most blessed and meritorious and virtuous to keep roza in the month of Muharram. And this particular hadith, Rasulullah said, Shahrullah, the month of Allah, its connection, its nisbat, specifically made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Every month belongs to Allah. Everything belongs to Allah. But to show the importance of this month, it has been connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how we have Kitabullah, the book of Allah, the Quran, Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, Baytullah, the house of Allah, Nabiullah, the Nabi of Allah, like that, Shahrullah, the month of Allah. And وَأَفْضَلُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ. The most virtuous of nafil salat after the fard, after we have read our 5 times fard salat, fajr, zuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, the next most virtuous salat is tahajjud salat. May Allah grant all of us tawfiq of reciting and reading our tahajjud salat every day. Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi narrates a hadith wherein he says, أن رجلا جاء إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Man comes and asks Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم after the month of Ramadan, when should I keep roza? Which month? Rasulullah said, إن كنت صائما فصم شهر الله المحرم. If you are going to keep roza, then keep roza in the month of Muharram. فصم المحرم. فإنه شهر الله. It is the month of Allah. فيه يوم تاب الله فيه على قوم. In this month of Muharram, there was a particular day referring to the 10th of Muharram. From other narrations, it is understood that on the 10th of Muharram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave an entire nation. An entire nation that had committed many sins. But when they made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that particular day of Ashura, Allah forgave them. وَيَتُوبُ فِيهِ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ آخَرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive many other nations on that day. May Allah forgive us our sins also. Rasulullah SAW has mentioned whoever keeps roza on the 10th of Muharram, Ashura day, and then all his minor sins of the past year, 1438, all the minor sins of that year are forgiven. Just one roza. And all your minor sins are forgiven. However, when he realized that the Yahud of Medina were also keeping roza on the 10th of Ashura, upon inquiry, why are you all keeping fast? Then they mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had saved Musa alayhi salatu salam and the Bani Israel from Fir'aun. And we know the entire incident, how Musa alayhi salatu salam was persecuted. And the Bani Israel were tormented. They were persecuted by the tyrant ruler Fir'aun. And we have heard this on many occasions in the month of Ramadan also. We discussed the tafsir of these verses, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys Fir'aun, drowns him. Allah ta'ala drowns Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salatu salam is with Bani Israel. Fir'aun and his men are pursuing Musa alayhi salatu salam and Bani Israel. Allah tells him, take your staff, your asa, and hit it onto the sea. A wooden stick, hitting it on the ocean, onto the sea. And 12 roads, dry roads, suddenly appear. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Bani Israel cross. And then he takes the same rod again, or the staff, or this asa, strikes it again, and the entire dry roads become sea again. And Fir'aun and his people are drowned. And as Fir'aun is drowning, now the reality dawns upon him. He realizes what he had said before, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْعَلَىٰ, I am your great and mighty Lord. مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِ. On one occasion he tells Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, I don't know of any other deity for you besides me. I'm the God. I'm the Lord. I'm the creator. Everything belongs to me. Now as he is drowning, absolutely useless, he's got no strength whatsoever. His entire mighty palace, all his men, nothing can come to his benefit and avail. He's drowning. آمنت برب هارون وموسى. Now he's shouting out, I bring iman in the Rabb of Harun and Musa. الآن وقد عصيت. Allah says, now when you were disobedient, you had every chance, every opportunity to make amends, to make tawbah, to bring iman. You failed. So the lesson of Fir'aun is for all of us. May Allah strengthen our iman. May Allah increase our iman. We have come into this world, respected brothers and elders, to bring iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to cleanse and purify our hearts, to become the ibadur rahman, the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to inculcate the sunnah, the beautiful way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to refrain from all those things that will anger Allah Rabbul Izzat, to go with the beautiful and clean and pure heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to leave this world with the pleasure of Allah, with the love of Allah, with the ma'rifat of Allah. Then we are successful ones. There are many countries in the world, especially India, Pakistan, where before the day of Eid, Eid al-Adha, Bakri Eid as we know, where the people from the village, they come and they have the goats and the sheep and the cows. And they come and sell this in the city. And the city dwellers, they go and they purchase the animal. So there was one father and he goes with his children. And there is this marketplace. This is the day before Eid now, or the evening before Eid. And he is desperate, he hasn't purchased his animal. So he goes to the stall where these animals are kept. And like him, many others have gone. And everybody is busy purchasing his animal. When his children, they spot a very beautiful cow. Very beautiful cow. And they insist to their father, Abbaji, please, usiko kharid lo. Buy this. So beautiful. So he also becomes fascinated. Very beautiful cow. He goes forward and asks the person, how much are you selling it for? So he says, 17,700 rupees. So he said, so expensive. I don't have that amount. So he thinks to himself, let me quickly see somewhere else. But his children, they plead, Abbaji, nahi, usi ko kharid lo. We're not going to go anywhere else. You want, this is the one we want. It's so beautiful. So any father will feel sorry, feel pity for his children, even though he doesn't have the money. Somehow he'll try and purchase the animal. Again he bargains. Please, make it cheap. See, everybody else, they're making a bargain, they're bargaining, and the people are making a price for them. Make a price for me. He says, "Bhai, I wish I could help you. Actually, I require a donkey." And the man who's selling his donkey to me insists he wants 17,700 rupees. So if I could get it cheaper, I'll sell you this cow cheaper. Look over there across, on the other side of the road, on the highway. See that man, he's selling the donkey. You can go and convince him to sell it to me cheaper. And I'll purchase the donkey from you, and then you can take the cow for the same price that you purchased the donkey for. So they become very excited. They run across. And again, they ask this person, "Are you selling this donkey?" He says, "Yes." "What's the price?" 17,700 rupees. "Please make it cheaper." They beg him. Finally, after they persuade him, he brings it down for approximately 12,000 rupees. So they're very excited. They buy the donkey and they come over to this man who is selling the cow now, going to give him the donkey and take the cow. But when they come there, this man disappears. He realized it was the plan between the seller of the cow and the seller of the donkey. In Donome Exazisti, it was just a plan. The poor fellow comes with the donkey, there's no cow. So he takes his donkey back home with his children. Can you imagine, night before Eid, as he's entering the muhalla, the basti, all the children of that town, they look at him, ho ho, taliya bajane lage. They began to clap hands and laugh. And say, "Kis ke liye gaye the? Kya lekar aaye?" What did they go for? They went to buy a cow for Bakreed. They brought back a donkey. My respected brothers and elders, are we going to go akhirat like that? We have come to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time is running short. How many janazas in the last month we have seen? Almost every second day. When that maut will come, we do not know. These are lessons. Ashura is not a day of just celebrating. MashaAllah, there is a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah. There is no doubt about it. Man wassa'a ala ahlihi yawma ashura wassa'a allahu alihi tuya sanatihi. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. That person who spends a bit more freely upon his family on the day of Ashura. In other words, what you normally give them a little bit more. Abu Hazrat Rahmatullah should say, simple, you're going shopping on that day, normally you'll buy a few selected items. Now fill the trolley a bit more. Be a bit more generous. Don't be stingy. You've got children, give them a little bit more. You've got your wife, give her a little bit more. Spend generously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be generous to you the entire year. This has been tried and tested by thousands of ulama, scholars, and every type of person. And they have found it to be absolutely true. But that's not the only thing of Ashura. It's a great Mubarak day. In one riwayat, it is mentioned, فَجَعَلُوهُ صَلَاتًا وَصَوْمًا. Keep roza on the day and read excessive nafil salat. Make tawbah istighfar. And therefore, Rasulullah, when he saw the Yahud keeping fast, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah saved Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. We know the entire incident with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. For such a long, lengthy period, 950 years giving dawah to his people, plus minus 80 people only accept iman. Amongst the people who don't accept him is his own son. And when they are told to build that ship and that ark, the people began to laugh and mock at Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Is this ship going to sail on land? Are you crazy? You gone insane? It was the command of Allah. He did as Allah Ta'ala instructed him. And when the floods came, from above, from below, and then the ship began to sail, his son said, قَالَ سَآوِي إِلَىٰ جَبَلِي يَعْصِمُنِي مِنَ الْمَاءِ. He says, I will seek refuge on the top of the mountain. It will save me from the flood. Allah responds, لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِيمٌ. Against the will of Allah, against the plan of Allah, against the power of Allah, against the strength of Allah, nobody can protect you. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ. Suddenly one huge wave comes in between and he is drowned. So the Yahud were keeping fast on this day out of shukr that Allah Ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people. Nabi Kareem said, "Nahnu haqqu wa awla bi Musa minkum." We are more closer and dearer to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than you are. And therefore Rasulullah instructed Sahaba that beside the day of Ashura, he said in one riwayat, "La'in baqitu ila qabirin la'asuman at-tasi'." If I live the following year, I will keep the ninth also. Rasulullah did not live for the following year, he passed on. But from this hadith, ulama and scholars understand that we have to oppose the Yahud and Nasara, even in our ibadat and in our actions, our way of life. That is why Rasulullah said that add one more fast to it, hence, ninth and tenth, or a person keeps on the tenth and 11th. Two rozas. This roza is not compulsory. It is a sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, very, very recommended in the books of hadith. If any person does not keep this roza, others should not look down upon him. However, we should make an attempt. Try to a level best. We find in the kitab, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala used to say, "Nasumu wa nusawimu sibyanana." We used to keep this roza, and we used to even make our little children, the infants, also keep this roza. To such an extent, if they were crying, we should make toys of cotton wool and preoccupy their minds right till iftar. Can you imagine what this roza is like? Let us not deprive ourselves. We require tawbah, istighfar. There's so many aspects regarding the 10th of Ashura we could discuss. As you may have heard in many other masajids also, in this limited time we have, tonight being a Saturday night, I know many people are keeping roza, may Allah Ta'ala accept it, may Allah make it easy for every one of us. Little bit of qurbani, little bit of harkat, barakat we'll get. Listen with attentiveness. Inshallah, there may be some aspect that could be a turning point in our lives. A very important aspect in the history of the Muslims and Islam, which affects us as well, is the fact that Muharram is the first month in our calendar. It is known as Al-Muharram. Those who are acquainted with Arabic, ulama and students will understand better, as Al-Fu-Ta'rif. No other month has got Al before it. Ramadan, Sha'ban, but Al-Muharram. Denoting this is the first month. Sayyidina Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala was a governor appointed by Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab is the Khalifa of the Muslims and he sends direction or directives, instructions to his different governors. So a letter comes to Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala telling him to do something. Another letter comes and tells, or the letter states something else. He becomes confused. He does not know which letter Umar radiallahu ta'ala dispatched first. So because of his confusion, he goes to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you could set up some type of calendar system, some dates, tariq, it will become easy for us. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala liked that idea. Immediately, he summons the Sahaba who were there, makes mashwara. So which incident should we take in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from which we can start the Islamic calendar? Various opinions and views are given. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu himself is of this view. Uthmani Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and Ali radiallahu ta'ala of the view that the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, this is from where we should begin our Islamic calendar. An important point to note, Rasulullah SAW himself made hijrat. He enters Medina only in Rabiul Awwal, not in Muharram. But the instruction was given to Sahaba from Muharram, and Sahaba began leaving from Muharram, and therefore we take the first month from Muharram and not from Rabiul Awwal. The very first person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know the condition that prevailed in Makkah at that time. The Muslims were persecuted. They were tormented. Stones are thrown in the pathway of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, a huge boulder is placed on his chest. They are dragged on the scorching sands of Makkah. Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, Allahu Akbar. Her one leg is tied to one camel, another to another camel. Both are made to run in different directions. She is split between the two. A spear is pierced in her private part of her body. Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala anha, persecuted. Sahaba once come to Rasulullah, Allah tastansiru lana, Allah tad'u lana, Ya Rasulullah sallam, why don't you make dua to Allah to give us victory now? Send that aid and help. Nabi Kareem sallam was reclining on the Kaaba. He sat up and then he tells them that, you know, in the time of Bani Israel people before you, you know how they were persecuted by the tyrants of their time? To such an extent that a steel comb used to be thrust into their bodies, piercing the skin, going through all the layers of the skin, and hitting the bones through the flesh, coming right to the bones of the body. He tells them to make sabr. Some sahaba are given permission to go to Abyssinia, amongst them Uthman radiallahu anhu, Ruqayyah radiallahu anha. Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala is also from them. After some time, news breaks out, or the rumor reaches them. It's a false news. The people in Muslims in Makkah are safe now. Everything is okay. So Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala goes. Nabi Kareem Sam had seen a dream. Uritu fil manam, ani muhajirun ila ardi nakhlin. That I am making hijrat. I'm leaving Makkah Mukarramah, his hometown. I'm leaving Makkah, going to a city, a town that has got date palms. And that was Madina Munawwara. The names of Madina, Taba, Taiba, Ad-Dar. Ulama have recorded many names for Al-Madina Al-Munawwara. Previously it was known as Yathrib. Then it is known as Taiba, Taiba, Taba, Madina, Ad-Dar. Abu Salama radiallahu anhu comes to Makkah. He cannot take the persecution anymore. When the permission is given to make hijrat, he prepares his camel for himself, his wife and his child. They are leaving Makkah. Now just picture this. He is about leaving Makkah when suddenly his in-laws, Bani Mughira, disbelievers, they come and they address him. If you going yourself, well and good, that's your problem. You wish to leave Makkah and go somewhere else, that is your problem. But you cannot take our daughter. So they pull her off the camel. And when they do this, his family, who are also disbelievers, they look at this scene, that our daughter-in-law has been taken by her family with her child. The child should not go there, the grandchild. We have more rights over this grandchild, and they begin to pull little child of Abu Salama. They begin to pull him. There's a tussle between both the tribes. You know, we talk about Asabiyah. And we talk about tribal bigotry. This was prevalent in that time especially. From my clan, he's from that clan. Wars would ensue because a camel from that clan grease into the land of this clan. And they could not see it. So as they are pulling the child, it is mentioned in the kitabs, he dislocates his hand, his shoulder. However, the family of Abu Salama, they take over the child. Now look at this. He's got a choice. Continue the hijrat for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Stay behind, he's got his wife and his child. She is separated from her husband and from a child. She says, Wallah, he continued. Every single day I would go on the outskirts of Makkah at a place called Abtah. Fala azaru abki. I used to sit and cry and cry and cry and cry. Perhaps today my husband will return. Perhaps today he'll return. I did not see my husband. I didn't see my child. Until one day, a family member went past. He felt sorry for her. He spoke to the rest of the family. He said, why are we doing this to her? Let her go and reunite with the husband, and they give her, hand her child back to her. She's mounted on the camel, she's got a child, she's coming out, she comes to Tan'im, Masjid Aisha today, radiallahu ta'ala anha. Not far from the Haram Sharif. At that time it was not like that. She was traveling all alone. Who sees her? Uthman bin Talha. At that time he was not a Sahabi, he was not a believer, he was a disbeliever. But he sees her traveling all alone. Where are you going to? I'm going towards Medina, I'm going to my husband. He says, you're going all alone. She says, yes, it's me and my child. Uthman bin Talha, a disbeliever. But look at his quality, his akhlaq. He escorts her. It's at a short distance from Makkah right till Medina. And he escorts her right till before Medina. He tells her, this is the place where your husband is. You may now proceed. And she says, مَا رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا أَكْرَمَ مِنْ Min Uthman bin Talha. I never saw a more better person, a more noble person than Uthman bin Talha. Whenever we traveled, he never looked at me with any evil intentions. If I had to come down, he would go one side and let the camel kneel and then I would jump off. When it was time to proceed again, I would jump onto the camel and then he would come in front. Who was Uthman bin Talha? Before Fatih Makkah, he accepts Islam. Becomes a Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala. He was actually in charge and he had the keys of the Kaaba. Keys of the Kaaba. Right till today, right till this very day, from his family, they have the keys of the Kaaba. When Rasulullah entered Makkah and after he removed the idols from Makkah, he entered with Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. In one riwayat, Uthman bin Talha was also called in. He was a believer, he was a Sahabi at that time. He had this fear. Rasulullah had asked him, Uthman, where is the key? He hands over the key. He thinks to himself, I'll never see this key again. But look at Rasulullah. After making his salat, comes out, Uthman, I hand over this key back to you. Khalidan talidan, you keep it always, it'll be in your family. Only a zalim ruler will usurp this key from you. So Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala, 1 year later his wife goes. Among the very first people who went was Mus'ab bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala. And Ibn Ummi Maktum radiallahu ta'ala, the blind Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was also the Mu'adhin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina Munawwara. Then people like Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala, Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu ta'ala, Amir bin Rabi'a and his wife, also among the very first people to make this hijrat to Medina Munawwara. Then Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala with his wife and his brother Abu Ahmad. They are making the hijrat. It is mentioned the Banu Jahash family, most of them left Makkah. They brought Iman and now quietly, secretly they are going and making this hijrat towards Madinah Munawwara. Abu Sufyan sees this, that they have left their homes and they have left Makkah. So he usurps all the belongings and all the homes, and he sells it to another person. When this news reaches Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, obviously he's hurt. And everything is taken away from me. He informs Rasulullah later on, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. Rasulullah says, Ama tarda? Aren't you happy? أَن يُعْتِيَكَ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَارًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا Abdullah, shouldn't it please you that Allah will give you a home in Jannah far better than this home of dunya? He says, Qala bala, yes, I'm happy. Rasulullah said, فَذَلِكَ لَكَ Then you have got it. Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu ta'ala, when he is making this hijrat, then the mushrikeen of Makkah stop him. Where are you going to? أَتَيْتَنَا سُعُلُوكًا حَقِيرًا You came to us as a beggar, a pauper. Downtrodden person. You had nothing. La mala lak. You had nothing. فَكَثُرَ مَالُكَ عِنْدَنَا Because of us, by staying with us, you became a rich person. تُرِيدُ أَن تَخُذْ بِنَفْسِكَ وَمَالِكَ You want to now leave with your wealth and your belongings, go all alone? Or take your wealth with you? This is not possible. We are going to detain you. He pleads to them. Finally, he makes an agreement. Okay, take whatever I have. All my homes and belongings, Makkah, everything you take. He goes empty-handed to Madinah Munawwara. How painful it must have been. We see very similar things to be happening in Burma. Those poor Muslim brothers and sisters, masoom children, and we heard the other night. Homeless, they've got nothing. When Rasulullah sees Suhaib, radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Rabiha bay'uk, Rabiha bay'uk, Rabiha bay'uk, oh Suhaib. How wonderful was the deal that you did. Most profitable. Allah will give you plenty, the meaning of it, Allah will grant you more in paradise. Suhaib is amazed, startled, bewildered. Ya Rasulullah, nobody knew about it. Jibreel alayhi salam must have come and informed you. Dhamira bin Abil Is, radiallahu anhu, elderly sahabi, very old, very wealthy. He has the desire also to make the hijrah to Medina. So he tells his slaves to carry him, literally carry him to make the hijrah. He hardly even comes near the outskirts of Makkah and he passes away. Allah Ta'ala sends on the verse, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That person who leaves his home making hijrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then his reward is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like this, there are so many other sahaba, until he comes to the tent of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, as reported by Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Ali says, that every other person who made hijrah from Makkah to Medina, went out quietly, secretly, they were afraid. Besides Ibn Khattab, Umar ibn Khattab, when he came, he had his bow and arrow around his neck. He goes to the Haram Sharif, makes his tawaf of the Kaaba. After making his tawaf, he goes to every little congregation of the Quraysh, addresses them. Any one of you wants his mother to bereave him? Any one of you wants his child to become an orphan? Or his wife to become a widow? Meet me behind the valley. Nobody had the pluck and courage to meet Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Umar leaves with a group of people. With them is his brother Zayd ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. Umar ibn Khattab says regarding his brother Zayd, سَبَقَنِي إِلَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ. My brother Zayd beat me in two important things. أَسْلَمَ قَبْلِي وَاسْتُشْهِدَ قَبْلِي. He brought Islam before me, he became shaheed before me. Umar is saying, he became shaheed before me. Probably he had this feeling he'll become shaheed also one day. Or he had this desire also to become shaheed. So like this, the Sahaba are going. And we know before the Hijrat, the Ansar had pledged allegiance to Rasul, Bay'at al-Ula, Aqaba, Thaniya. They pledged allegiance to Rasul that they would assist Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now comes the turn for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before that, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, every day, Ya Rasul, give me permission to make Hijrat. Rasul says, no, wait. I've got high hopes in Allah, that Allah is going to give you a very good companion. And then comes the day when Allah Ta'ala instructs Rasulullah, now you must leave Makkah. Why? In Darun Nadwa. That's the home where the kuffar would have the secret meetings. And this meeting was a meeting to decide what are we going to do with this person Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِدُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Finally the plan is made. Who else is also with them? Shaykh al-Najdi. A man, an elderly person. And that was Shaitan, disguised as an old person from the place Najd. And he says, no, I'm going to give you a good opinion. And finally when it is decided that kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that's an excellent thing to do. Allah informs Rasulullah at night, now you must leave. And he places his cousin Ali radiallahu ta'ala, who is going to become his son-in-law of his most beloved daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, who will become the father of his most beloved grandson Hassan Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. He says, Ali, you will sleep on my bed. He takes a green shawl, his own shawl, Rasulullah takes his own green shawl and covers Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And he says, لَيَخْلُسَكْ لَيَخْلُسَ إِلَيْكَ شَيْءٌ مِمَّا تَكْرَهُ مِنْهُمْ. That don't worry. No fear. That which you are apprehensive about, the demon may kill you, nothing will happen to you. Rasul emerges. The Quraysh, the youngsters from each tribe are around the house. They've laid siege to this house, waiting that when Rasul would emerge, they will kill him. Rasul recites Surah Yasin. Till he comes to the verse, فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah blinded these people. They were unable to see. Rasul actually emerges. He exits from his own home. He takes sand. He sprinkles on each person's head. They are fast asleep. They can't even see. They don't know what's happening. And he passes by like this. Much later, a person goes by. What are you all doing? We're waiting for Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, he's gone. He's not here. And see the sand on your head. And each person then realizes what has happened. That must have been the best night of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Comforted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reassured by him, and sleeping in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, covered with the shawl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did Rasulullah leave him? Because there were certain amanat. People had trusted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the disbelievers left some monies by him, some belongings. He had to give back each person his right due. And therefore he left Ali radiallahu anhu to give back those people their due. This is justice in Islam. He goes, there are various narrations. One narration says Rasul concealed himself for that night. One says he went to Ghari Thawr. And during the day now, extremely hot, when nobody would come out that time, Rasul comes to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anhu says that Rasul would never come at that particular time. He'd come in the morning and evening, and suddenly now midday, it is boiling, it is hot, and Rasul comes. He's Abu Bakr. Allah has commanded me to make hijrat. As-suhbata ya Rasul. Let me be your companion, be abi, anta wa ummi. May my parents be sacrificed for you. Rasul said, Allah has instructed that you must accompany me. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anhu says, I did not see anybody in my life crying out of joy and happiness like when I saw my father crying that day, Abu Bakr crying, because he was going to be the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this journey. Ya Rasul, I've got two camels ready for us to travel. He says, I will not take it for free. I will pay for it. Ya Rasul, it's for me. No. Rasul understood the sawab, the reward for this hijrat from Makkah to Medina. And therefore, he insisted and he paid for the camel. According to some narration, 700 dirhams. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says, she was a young girl at the time. Her elder sister Asma radiallahu anha, they prepare some food very quickly for them. She has a belt. She's young, little girl, cow little girl has a belt fastened around her waist. She breaks open this belt into two pieces. She takes a small piece, and with the tiffin, where the food of Rasulullah Abu Bakr was kept now, she ties the lid of the tiffin and she hands it over to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She was therefore known as Zatun Nitaqain, the one of two belts. She had one belt broken into two straps or two pieces, Nitaqain, two pieces of belt. Much later, Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi, another tyrant, and we can't go in, digress into who was Hajjaj, but Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala, the son of Asma radiallahu ta'ala, and obviously he is the grandson of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he did not accept Hajjaj as being the Amir. So Hajjaj kills Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala, who is the son of Asma radiallahu ta'ala, and then he hangs him on the tree. Hajjaj was a tyrant. Hangs him on the tree for the people to see. The Sahabi Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala goes past. He stands there. Ya Aba Khubayb, Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Did I not tell you? Did I not stop you from this? Did I not warn you about this? He had that love for him. And he had told Abdullah bin Zubayr, don't revolt against Hajjaj. He's going to kill you. But Abdullah bin Zubayr was firm. It is mentioned when he, before he went against Hajjaj, he comes to embrace his mother, to bid her farewell. Asma had gone blind at that time. Blind. And when he meets his mother, he embraces her. She pushes him. Are you being coward-like? Are you a coward? Why are you wearing an armor? Asma radiallahu ta'ala gives him dua and he leaves, he becomes shaheed. And now he's hung on this tree. The news reaches Hajjaj that Abdullah ibn Umar said this. He removes him and throws him into one of the qabrs. Then he summons Asma. Look at Hajjaj. He tells her that you must come to me now. He sends a messenger. They tell her she must come now. She says, I'll never come to him. Why should I go to Hajjaj? He sends a message. I will send somebody who will drag you by your plaits and your hair and he'll drag you and bring you to me. She says, you can do what you wish. I will never come to you. He becomes angry. He takes his slippers. He hurries. He comes to her house. And he says, what do you have to say? What do you have to say? What I have done. And look at the response he gives. She says, Afsatta alayhi dunya. You spoiled the dunya of my child, of my son, Abdullah bin Zubair. You destroyed his dunya, no problem. But in the process, Afsatta alayka akhirat, you have destroyed your akhirat. You took away his life, he was innocent. But you have now waged war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have destroyed your own akhirat. Then he says, he had very mockingly told her, yes, they call you Zatun Nitaqain, the person of two belts. She said, yes. And she gives the incident of hijrat, why she had to tie the food with one belt. And the other one, she said, every young girl requires the belt to hold the clothes onto her body. Then she says, you know, Rasulullah warned us of two people of the Thaqif tribe. One was an imposter, and there was Musaylama, Kazzab, and we have seen him. And the second one is the one who is going to be bloodthirsty, who is a tyrant. And she says, فَلَا إِخَالَكَ I don't have any doubts that it is you, إِلَّا أَنْتَ. Hajjaj becomes angry and he goes away from him. My respected brothers and elders, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala is now making this hijrah to Rasulullah s.a.w. He comes to Ghar Thawr. And en route, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, because now the kuffar say that any person who finds Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will be given the reward and prize of 100 camels. 100 camels. So at times Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is traveling in front of Rasulullah. Suddenly he comes behind. Suddenly on the right hand side. Suddenly on the left hand side. Rasulullah says, what is happening? He says, Ya Rasulullah, as I'm going in front of you, then I suddenly think people might come from behind. So quickly go behind to defend you. Then I think somebody might lay an ambush and be in front. So I come in front. Then sometimes I think somebody might attack from the right, sometimes from the left. Rasulullah consoles him all the time. When they come to Ghar Thawr, he tells us, please, Ya Rasulullah, just wait. He goes inside, he dusts the entire cave, make sure that every insect and harmful insect is removed. And he takes some part of his kurta and he manages to make or to stuff some of those holes and cover those holes with pieces of material, except two or three holes which he could not find any material. Rasulullah enters and puts his head onto the Mubarak, onto the lap of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Brother, what an honor, what an honor. And Rasulullah falls off asleep. It is mentioned that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu has got his legs against these holes which were open. And after some time, he is bitten by some scorpion. But he makes sabr. And as those beads of tears roll down his cheeks, and they happen to fall on the face of Rasulullah and who awakens. Abu Bakr, what is the matter? What has happened? And then he finds out, this is what happened. Rasulullah takes his lu'abi mubarak, his saliva, reads something, places it, and rubs the leg of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Immediately he is cured. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, the great scholar, muhaddith, faqih, teaching his thousands of students, he's got the hadith kitab in front of him, thousands of students, and he's narrating the hadith, and suddenly the students are watching that the color of his face is changing, becoming very, very red. And after the lesson was over, he takes his kurta, he dusts it off,
and they find a scorpion. The scorpion was biting his back. So they asked, "Oh Sheikh, why didn't you stop your dars?" He said, "No. I found it khilaf of adab, against ethical and respect, that I must close the hadith of Rasulullah sallam. But I opted to bear that pain, endure the pain. I thought of what Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu in the cave." So, Umar radiallahu ta'ala would say, "How I wish waditu, it's my desire, that all my good actions, everything be given in lieu of just one day and one night of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala." Which night? The night in which he slept in the cave with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah praised him in the Quran. When the enemy came right till the mouth of the cave, Allah protected them. We know the incident. Two pigeon eggs in the nest, and the spider's web is woven and closed the entire entrance. It was impossible for anybody to have gone there. So they went back. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he saw the feet right above them, he began to cry. Softly. Ibn said, "What's the matter?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, in qutiltu ana, if I'm killed now, rajulun wahid, just one man. Wa in qutilta anta, but if you are killed now, halakatil ummah, ummah to be destroyed. I'm not crying, Ya Rasulullah, because I fear my own life. I am worried, nothing must happen to you." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "ما ظنك يا أبا بكر باثنين الله ثالثهما." "Oh Abu Bakr, what fear do you have with two of us? And the third is Allah who is with us." "لا تحزن إن الله معنا." "Do not fear, Allah is with us." After 3 days, they come out of that cave. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi, in his time, you know the masala in Ramadan we heard of the Khalq Quran, it's a lengthy incident. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal is on right, is on haq. And he flees because the governor of that time is going to execute him. So a friend of his manages to conceal him in his home. And for 3 days he remains there. On the end of the third day, he wishes to leave. So friend says, "What are you doing? They will find you, they will kill you." He says, "The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only 3 days in the cave. It's not only for good things we follow the sunnah. Even the difficulties also, we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. So after 3 days, he also emerged. Nonetheless, as they're traveling, they see a person. Suraqa bin Malik bin Ju'sham al-Muddiji. Suraqa bin Malik is sitting with his tribe people. Suddenly one man comes and says, "Hey, I've seen two people. That is Muhammad and his companion. I'm sure it is them." Suraqa bin Malik, he realizes, yes, it is them. But he tells his tribesman, No. That is somebody else. Fulan or Fulan. Just now they passed us." Then secretly he prepares his animal and he takes his bow and arrow and he goes because he wants 100 camels for himself. He was afraid that just now if he say yes, it will be somebody else will go. So he goes and as he is coming, again Abu Bakr sees him. "Ya Rasul, now we go. Now we go." Nabi Kareem does not even bother. Abu Bakr is turning around, looking. Suraqa is coming closer and closer. Nabi Sam just looks front and carries on. As Suraqa bin Malik comes closer, the legs of his horse begin to sink into the sand. So first he thinks something just happened. So again he sits upright, tries again. Again it sinks. Two or three times it happens. He realizes that this man is somebody else. And he is now making a dua against me. From there he pleads, "Please, please don't curse me. Please supplicate to Allah to save me from this predicament I am in." Nabi Kareem Sallallahu agrees. Suraqa bin Malik is not sunk, but he makes a pledge to Rasulullah that "I promise you I will not harm you. And any person coming to harm you, coming this way, I will send them away. I will say no that you are not here." Nabi Kareem Sallallahu agrees and tells him, "Ya Suraqa, how will it be? كيف إذا لبست سواري كسرى? How will it be one day, when you will be given the two bangles of the king of Persia to wear?" Suraqa thinking to himself, "I'm a Bedouin from a desert. Kisra, king of Persia, and his bangles given to me. Rizm said, Ata'jabu min? Are you so surprised, astonished? Suraqa, this will happen. Exactly in the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala. The king of Persia and Rome, they all defeated, conquered. All the treasures come to Madinah Munawwara. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu, he calls the promise of Rasulullah. Where is Suraqa? Calls him. He comes, Suraqa, these two bangles are yours. Then Umar ibn Khattab tells him, Qul, say, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Alladhi salabahuma, the one who took away these two bangles from Kisra, wa albasahuma, and he made these two bangles to be given to who? To Arabiyan min Mudlij, to a Bedouin for the Mudlij tribe. Suraqa bin Malik, radiallahu ta'ala, he became a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so many other things that happened in between. In some riwayat, it has been mentioned that Rasulullah's feet became blistered. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a different relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sahabi loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Abu Bakr was Abu Bakr. He carried Rasulullah on his shoulder, ala kahili. He carried Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for a certain distance. And on route, they see a tent, and they are very thirsty. In Ghari Thor, in that at night, his son Abdul Rahman, the son of Abu Bakr, would come. He would bring for them some news of what had transpired during the day, whatever the Quraysh were planning. Then Amir bin Fuhaira was a shepherd of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He would come with his animals and give Rasulullah some and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu cold milk to drink, and with his animals, he'll cover all the traces of the footsteps of Abdul Rahman bin Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then Asma radiallahu anhu also come and bring some food sometimes. And they had Abdullah bin Ariqat. He was a disbeliever, but he knew the way and direction very well towards Madinah Munawwara. Rasulullah gives him some money, takes a promise from him that he will not divulge this to any person. He keeps to his promise. So as they're going now, they are thirsty, they're hungry again. They see this tent, they go in there. It's an elderly woman. Husband had gone out. She's an old woman. And Nabi Karim asked her for some milk. She said, I've got nothing. So he sees a very thin, a very lean goat in one corner of the tent. Nabi Karim said, can I have this? Can I just use this or borrow this goat? No problem. He takes this goat with his Mubarak hands. He places his Mubarak hands under the udders of this goat. He makes a dua. And suddenly this animal, this goat, gives off such milk that she never saw in her life. Nabi Karim drinks, Abu Bakr drinks, and then they proceed. Just shortly after that, the husband comes. He senses somebody was here. He sees this goat giving milk. Who had come here? She describes in the most eloquent Arabic, we don't have time to go into that. In the most eloquent Arabic, she sees this very handsome person came, and he came with a companion of his, and this was transpired. He says, this is the person who is the messenger of Allah. And he goes in pursuit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One riwayat says he takes her also. The other riwayat says he goes himself. Then later on she also goes. And they both embrace Islam. Now they come towards, because the time has already expired, I'm just going to shorten the whole incident, but read the books of Sir. Absolutely interesting. As they come closer, they come to Quba. Bani Amr bin Auf, this is the place where they're residing in. And for 2 weeks Rasulullah lives in Quba. Namaz had already begun in Quba. لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ. Allah Ta'ala praises Quba, and therefore Rasulullah every Saturday, somebody white on Monday, mashian or rakiban, either mounted or walking, he would go to Quba. He overreads Surah Kat Salat in Quba, then he gets the sawab of an accepted Umrah. Accepted Umrah. After 2 weeks, they just come out of Quba. Bani Salim in that territory, they perform Jumu'ah Salat, and then he is now proceeding towards Madinah Munawwara. Both are mounted on the camel, and the people of Madinah were waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as Rasul enters Madinah Munawwara, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu had mentioned, the day Rasulullah entered Madinah, the entire Madinah Munawwara brightened up. Everything just lit up. The day he left this world, everything became dark. As even every Sahabi, every Ansari desired that he must stay by us. They began to pull the reins of the camel. Nabi Akram said, Da'ha, leave her alone. فَإِنَّهَا مَأْمُورَةً She's been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This camel goes past a plot of two orphans, Sahal and Suhail radiallahu ta'ala. They were in the custody of Mu'adh bin Afra radiallahu ta'ala. Goes past, halts, comes back. So when this camel stopped first, it stopped at this plot of land, stood up, went forward, stopped at the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala, and came back to this, in front of this land. Nabi Karim said, realize that I will stay in Abu Ayyub Ansari's house, and this plot of land, empty plot of land, this is where we will build our masjid, belonged to two orphans. Rasulullah was rahmatul alameen, he was just, he paid, he purchased this property, and then the Sahaba later on built the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi Karim lived in the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. Can you imagine? What a nasib. Nabi Kareem staying at my house. Double story house. Not like our mansion. Simple double story house. Rasulullah decided and he opted to live in the bottom. Sahaba will come to see him. He'll be busy. So he didn't want to disturb Abu Ayyub Ansari and his wife. So he said, you all go and stay upstairs and I'll live downstairs with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. But Abu Ayyub Ansari was very restless. Very restless. That night he could not sleep. The thought came to him, Wahi will come down to Rasulullah. Angels will be coming. We above, we on top, disrespectful, there'll be some below us. So that night, they slept, husband and wife, on the edge of the room. Thinking if you sleep in the middle, perhaps we are above Rasulullah. This is disrespectful. And whilst all this happening, they had a little jug of water. It toppled. And you know the ceiling of that time, wooden ceiling. When they saw this, they rushed forward. They had only one sheet to cover themselves. They quickly began to dry up that water, lest those droplets fall through, seep through, and fall and disturb Rasulullah's sleep. In the morning, he says, Ya Rasul, please, I cannot sleep upstairs. It's difficult. He said, don't worry. It's easier for me to be downstairs. He said, Ya Rasul, wallah, I can't. I cannot. Please, you go on top, and then Rasulullah then live upstairs. And Abu Ayyub Ansari and his wife live downstairs. They used to prepare the food every day for Rasulullah. And the beauty part is, when Rasulullah would eat, he wouldn't eat everything finished, he would leave some food for them, and he'd send it down for them, and they would look and search for wherever Rasulullah's Mubarak finger must have went on the plate, and they would also lick that area of the plate. This is real love and muhabbat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then lived in Madinah, and we know the entire incident. Just to round off, two important incidents, two important aspects. This hijrah took place from Makkah to Madinah. Sahaba were told to go and they went in droves. They were those people who were Muslims, who were Sahaba, but they could not go like the daughter of Rasulullah Zainab radiallahu anha, and I think not long ago we discussed her entire incident. Because the husband at that time was a disbeliever, later on he accepted Islam, but after the Battle of Badr, he allowed her to go to Madina Munawwara. But there were many like her who were not allowed and given permission by their family members to make the hijrat. Otherwise, the rest made the hijrat. Asma radiallahu ta'ala, Asma, not bint Abu, the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu, binti Umais, the wife of Ja'far radiallahu, they had gone to Abyssinia. And they only came to Madina 7th year of the hijrah. We're now 1439. That is 7th year. After Fatih Khaybar. When Khaybar was conquered, Rasulullah conquered Khaybar, where the Jewish forts were, and Muslims were victorious. And he saw Ja'far coming. He says, I'm not sure whether I'm happy because Khaybar was conquered, or because of Ja'far coming. So Ja'far's wife, Asma binti Umais radiallahu ta'ala, when they came to Madina Munawwara, Umar radiallahu ta'ala, jokingly said, Sabaqnaakum bil hijra. We beat you all in making hijra. You're only pitching up now. She became angry. Ya Rasul, see what Umar is saying. The Prophet said, Tell Umar. He's only made one hijrat. He made from Makkah to Medina. Lakum hijratan. You people have made two hijrat. One to Abyssinia and the second to Medina. Fath-e Makkah took place. Sahaba came, entered into Makkah. Now Makkah became a Darul Islam. Now there was no question of making hijrat. Hijrat they had to make because they were not allowed to practice the deen freely. They were persecuted. Therefore Allah told them to leave Darul Kufr, Darul Harb and go to Darul Islam. After Fatih Makkah, you know, there were no more, those kuffar accepted Islam. There was no more persecution. There was no problem. Makkah became Darul Islam. So after that point, there was no more hijrat. No more hijrat. La hijrata ba'd al-fatr. Those who embraced Islam after that, they felt sad. Ya Rasulullah, we must have a hijrat. Nabi said, don't worry. Al-muhajiru man hajar al-khataya wa dhunub. O kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. A true migrant, a true muhajir, is not one who just leaves his lock, stock and barrel and moves away. Of course, they went for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But real hijrat, what is wanted from you now, is to abandon all sin and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the lesson for you and I. If you want to be a true muhajir, we have to leave out hajara, to abandon al-dhunub wal-khataya, all sins. Then we in the words of Rasul are true muhajirin. There was one particular person, when the Sahaba made hijrat, he proposed for a woman in Makkah. She says, no. If you want to marry me, I'm making hijrat to Medina, you come there. Then I will marry you. So he also makes his hijrat. The news reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He ascends the minbar and then he gives the hadith narrated by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, famous hadith, comes in 7 places in Bukhari, different places in Bukhari Sharif, many other hadith kitabs. Many scholars have commenced their books with this hadith. Qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, innamal a'malu binniyat. That all actions are judged according to the intentions. Wa innama li kulli imri'in ma nawa. Whatever intention a person makes, that's the reward he will get. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whosoever migrated solely for the pleasure of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is the instruction of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he will get the reward. He will get Allah and His Rasul. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا. Somebody left Makkah and came to Medina. Perhaps I'll do some good business here. يُصِيبُهَا. He'll get the dunya profits. أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا. Oh, if he came simply to get married, he'll marry the woman. But he won't get the sawab of hijrat. فَهِجْرَةُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. Whatever intention he made, that's the thing he will get. So from this hadith we understand about the purity and the correctness of our intention should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar ibn Khattab then chose that Muharram and his own incident of hijrat be the Islamic calendar will be based on this particular incident. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. May Allah bless the entire ummah of Rasulullah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah help us to change and rectify and make islah of our lives. May Allah's special mercy come upon the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu, laka shukra kulluhu, la nuhsi thana alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Allah, hamari gunakum haafurma. Ya Allah, hamari khatakum haafurma. Ya Allah, this mubarak day of Ashura, my Allah. Ya Allah, the Salaf al-Salihin, they valued this day, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't make us just waste this day, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us tawfiq of keeping Roza, my Allah. Ya Allah, help us to make tawseeq. Ya Allah, and spend generously upon our families in this day, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't make us do any sins, my Allah. Help us to make sincere tawbah to you, my Allah. For every single guna, ma'asiyah, dhunub, khati'ah we committed, my Allah, knowingly, unknowingly, my Allah, in public, in privacy, in darkness of the night, in broad daylight, wherever we did it, my Allah. Ya Allah, tu janta, ya Allah. Ya ghufar al-dhunub, sattar al-uyub, my Allah. Ya Allah, you concealed those sins, my Allah. Ya Allah, you did not humiliate us, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, my Allah, forgive us. Forgive our parents, forgive our wives, our children, our progeny. Ya Allah, our musallis, mutalliqeen, mashayikh, our family members, our friends, my Allah. Those whose ihsan is upon us, my Allah. Every single person listening to this program. Our brothers who are here now, my Allah. They've raised their hands. Mothers and sisters and others at home have raised their hands, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us in this Mubarak day, my Allah. Ya Allah, the words of Rasulullah says, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُومِ الْآخَرِينَ. Ya Allah, you will forgive many other nations, ya Allah. Forgive us also, my Allah. Don't make us mahroom of your rahmat, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us the best of dunya, best of akhirat, ya Allah. All those who are sick and ailing, give them complete shifa. All the marhumin, give them jannatu firdaus, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us mawtid madina sharif. Baril jannatu al-baqi. Grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Hodi Kuthr, whatever means, Mubarak, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us in the jannat without any hisab kitab. Protect us from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam. From every big and small fitna, especially the fitna of the Dajjal, my Allah. Ya Allah, ummat bahut pareshan hal hai, ya Allah. Ya Allah, oh ummat, ya Allah. The ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, this is the beloved Nabi's ummat, my Allah. Ya Allah, especially our Muslim brothers and sisters, my Allah. Ya Allah, the Rohingya in Burma, my Allah. Ya Allah, the Rohingya in Muslims, my Allah. We have heard. Ya Allah, people who have witnessed to what has happened there. Ya Allah, they've given a report back, my Allah. Ya Allah, we cannot even listen anymore, my Allah. Masoom children, my Allah. Butchered to death, my Allah. They made no guna, ya Allah. They're masoom, my Allah. Ya Allah, their mothers are raped, my Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have yaqeen in your power, my Allah. You are Aziz al-Hakim, my Allah. You are Qadir, my Allah. You are Muqtadir. You are Muntaqim, my Allah. Everything is in your control, my Allah. Change the conditions, my Allah. This day of Ashura, my Allah. You have given it to us. We beg you today, my Allah. We beg you, my Allah, to change the conditions for the better, my Allah. Allah, remove the zulam and oppression, take it, please, my Allah. Allah, give them back their homes, my Allah. Allah, give them food, my Allah. Give them nourishment, my Allah. Protect the Iman, protect the Islam, my Allah. Protect the Abru and Izzat, protect their lives, my Allah. Ya Allah, the enemy just looks upon them, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, my Allah. It is because of our weaknesses, my Allah. Guide the Ummat of Rasulullah Sallam. Guide us in our country, my Allah. Ya Allah, don't make us disobey you, my Allah. Ya Allah, bless all of us with afiyah, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chair, sukur, rahat, protection, your ma'rifat, your qurb, my Allah. All good works of deen, ya Allah, accept and grant all of us ikhlas and maqbooliyat, especially those who are helping our Muslim brothers and sisters in different parts of the world, in Syria, in Palestine, my Allah, Iraq, and so many other African countries, my Allah. Ya Allah, you bless their families, my Allah. You bless them and their families. Give them hidayat, ya Allah, afiyat. Protect them, my Allah. Give them more strength, my Allah. Remove the obstacles, my Allah. Use us also for the khidmat of your deen with ikhlas and maqbooliyat. Ya Allah, make our children become the coolness of our eyes. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhuriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.